Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on the Danny Brown Show.
Ever since my sobriety, it ain't been working right.
Yeah.
I'm too tender now.
Man, it's like I'm a teenager now. As soon as you just touch me wrong, it's going off.
Yeah. And they know this is what they're putting themselves through.
They love it. This is their kink. This is what they look for. This is their thrill.
Yeah, she a freaky bitch. I can see it in her eyes.
It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax your eye right now while your mate's studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax your eye right now while your mate's studios. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, Doe? Coming to you live from Austin, Texas. It's the Danny Brown Show here at Wild Me Studios. You know I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all doing, fellas?
What's up, man?
Yo.
Chilling. It's a great day in Austin today. We finally got the heat down. It's a good 75. I got nothing else than one of the flyest, funkiest brothers I know. We got Dave One from Chromio up in the house. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
Man, thank you so much for coming through, man.
Thanks for having me.
You already know, man. You OG fans. To me, man. How you doing, man?
I'm good. We're still here.
Y'all got the new album coming out?
Yep. Top of next year, Valentine's Day week. But we just announced it this year.
We
just, you know, now you got to have the vinyl the week it drops. So you got to announce it like 12 years beforehand and like make sure everybody gets their pre-orders.
So y'all got the Valentine's Day bops. It's going to be real date night music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the album is called Adult Contemporary.
Yeah, I seen it. So what y'all, how long y'all take working on this?
Started before the pando.
But then
like over the last year and a half, we really locked in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really when it get, like the last year and a half, we were working on it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like little demos and stuff floating before.
That's dope, man. Yeah. That's the same thing I did with my album, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's with rap music. We always expect like a quick turnaround. But I kind of just learned that it's better to fucking sit on the records and realize, like I was just telling you, that's how Q-Tip taught me. Because it's nothing worse than you performing a song that you hate now. And you're like, fuck, man. Like,
the kind of music you make is not the same. Like, I think people need to wait for that next chapter of your era. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's also like every album you make, you have a different persona.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you had the no tooth, and then you had the teeth, and then you had the perm, and then you had the afro. Like, people, you need to get that new persona.
It's like growing with the person.
Yeah.
In some sense.
I can look at the Beatles, and just from what they're wearing, know what album it is.
Yeah.
And I always like that about certain bands.
But then it is a thing that you always want to, like, redefine yourself in some sense. Like, I was a huge fan of Bowie.
Yeah.
So that's where I got my whole shit from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In that sense. Yeah. Like every album like taking on like a new character.
Persona.
Even though I've been stuck in the same character.
with me and P is actually the opposite in a way. Like we're like the kind of, we try to be like these kind of timeless characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like we kind of are the same. Because with me and P, the idea is we wanted to be like ZZ Top.
Oh shit.
Funk. Yeah. When you think about it, it makes total sense. We want to be the ZZ Top of funk. I'm from Texas. They're the biggest influence on Chromio.
Damn, that's fire.
Yeah.
But y'all do. Y'all make some funky ass shit.
Thank you, man.
That's some fucking shit. I even love seeing y'all play live, man. So you guys are at ACL this weekend, man.
Yep.
Damn, man.
Later today, yeah.
Is this your first time playing ACL?
Nah, I think it's like the third or fourth.
Veterans.
Yeah. You know what it is. Like in this game, it's like, the biggest accolade to me is just longevity.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the number one thing. To be able to stay around. That's why I always try to, you know, try myself. Like I say, where I can sit on the records and just make sure you really love it. And, you know, but am I going to be able to still listen to this song the same way 10 years later? Because I can still go back to a lot of, like, hip-hop that I used to like as a kid. And I listen to it, and it sounds like it came out yesterday, you know?
Yeah, the great stuff really, really does. And, like, you know, this is going to be my sixth album with Chromeo's sixth album, like obviously there's a lot of songs where I listen back and I'm like, ah, I don't love this one, but that's also part of the process. Mm-hmm. Some of them are more timeless than others. I think even in our, for our idols, you know, there's certain songs by some of those people that we, I think we have similar taste that we look back and we're like, that one they might have been reaching, but you know, in that period in time, it made sense.
Because you'd be get caught up in what was trendy at the moment. And shit like that. Like I listen to some, like, you know, Nas is my favorite rapper. And I listen to a couple Nas, some old record, and I'll be like, ah.
Yo, but you'd be surprised. I went back to Nostradamus. It's good.
I went back
to Nostradamus. I was like, actually, this is good.
I'm a super Nas fan. So that's Life We Chose is one of my favorite records from him.
Yeah.
So that was on there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good records on there. And then
he had that fucking, the New World shit, the fucking.
the Nas records I'm still having trouble getting back into was like the one, like the late, like Life Is Good and that kind of era. I got to kind of give that a chance to simmer. Mm-hmm. But
Life Is Good, I can't say I really dive deep. I understood where he was coming from.
Yeah, I gotta give that a chance.
But I never really, you know, and people love that album. There's a lot of people that really hold that album. I can't remember like what was going on at the time for me. I probably wasn't really because I get my phases to where I just listen to nothing but rap. And then where I, like right now I've been listening to fucking Georgia Smith and shit
old
drum and bass mixtapes like that.
Same. I go in and out. I think people are surprised that like when they look at me now that like I'm like such a hip hop nerd, but it's just the age we are. And me and A-Track, it's been our guiding light forever. And I pretty much like know everything. Nas is interesting because like I definitely see a parallel with you guys because Nas is like a really dark side to him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing about like Nasty Nas. But even up till recently, like, what's the song like? Broads put pentagrams in their vagina.
Yeah, Nazareth.
That's a real bar, he said, right?
Well, yeah, and one of the nastiest ones ever was fucking Nazareth Savage when he got, I got bitches that blow bubbles like, I got bitches that blow cum bubbles like bubble gum.
Yes.
Plus they ass lick some of my house, we sipping rum. Like, what? Yeah.
People put him in this kind of like Rakim or like whatever you want to call it, the prophet and all that. But he's got a very nasty side.
Yeah, the first bar, I mean, it was all about the shock value. Like, it was almost like damn near horrorcore or something.
Correct.
Shit,
well, that's when he came out, but he kept doing that.
Yeah, no, he always showed glimpses doing it.
And
of it.
Yeah, even on the newer joints, I'm like, whoa. And I'm waiting for that bar to come out. I remember when that Lost Tapes came out with like Do-Rags and stuff, that was peak for me. I love that. Yeah.
I remember when the I Am bootlegs had started to leak, like which I actually seen. They say they about to re-release it with the as a double album with the stuff.
That's another one that you know people were hard on it when it came out.
Because I mean, it got leaked, so he had to pretty much make a new album, and you know, but it was some bangers still on there.
Everything. I like him a lot, and now he really figured out how to be like a modern artist. He'll just be putting out an album every 6 months. It's cool.
The newest one is my favorite one out of the whole.
What, Magic or like Magic 3? Part 2? Oh yeah, see, I'm still on Magic 1. I haven't even caught up.
Magic 3 is great because you know he released it on his 50th birthday.
Yeah,
and that's pretty much what the whole album is. That's pretty much like the whole concept of it is about how he turning 50, how hip hop turned 50.
And you had that. You were one of the first. I'm sorry if I'm asking you questions, because I don't know if people know this history we have. So.
No, definitely. I mean, they should. You know what I'm saying? So, if you tapped in.
Yeah. Okay. You know, when A-Track. I'm the one who told him to sign you.
Oh, shit.
But I had never heard your music. Ask him. So he brought me, he named a couple of artists that they were talking to. And then he said, there's one called Danny Brown. And I was like, I love that name. You should just sign him off. That name is so crazy. And then I was like, and then he was like, do you want to hear the music? I was like, with a name like that, it's just cool. You said he's from Detroit. That just sounds great. I love the idea. And then the first song I heard was Guitar Solo.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And then, I went into the Tony Yayo thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother was like, he's talking to XL, but they've got somebody else, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that whole shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he's talking to G-Unit, but apparently 50 told him he won't sign him if he keeps wearing the skinny pants.
Yeah.
That's the truth, right?
Yeah,
you probably said that 100 times already.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was like, you know, I would be with I live with Yayo for like a summer, and me and Yayo go shopping. I always like I was into thrifting and stuff then. I would go to it was a store in New York called Coat of Arms. And I would go and buy like about vintage jerseys and shit like that and snapbacks. But then I would go to buy my pants. I was going to like Hot Topic and fucking like Paxson and shit like that. And I would just get the tightest fucking pants I could find. That's just what I liked to wear, you know? And 50, he'd just be like, man, I don't want this gay shit around me.
So then A-Track was like, nah, there's an opening there. I was like, sign him.
Yeah, because the only two labels that I wanted to sign to was XL or Fusgo. Because I remember I was in New York. What was the New York festival they used to have? Like around the wintertime, I was there for that.
What, CMJ?
Yeah. They don't do that no more, huh?
No.
So I was there for that. And I remember everybody was like, oh, Kanye's at Brooklyn Bowl. Kanye was a Fusgo party. And everybody was rushing to go over there. And I wanted to go over there. And I went over there, but I couldn't get in. And it just was the type of people that I seen that was going
that
to
was
that.
You.
That was like, that's my scene. Like, I wanted to be a part of that shit. So I actually jumped the gun on that shit. Before me and A-Track, we was talking back and forth, but he wasn't committed yet. And I had did an interview. I was like, I'm signing a Fool's Girl.
I remember that too. We're so happy. But then the point I was getting at is that, like, from the jump with us, you talked about your age.
Mm-hmm.
And you made that a thing, right? Because it was like 30, the first one, right?
Yeah, I remember... I mean, you know, people used to lie about their age and shit, and then it would come out like, no, this motherfucker really 30, and it would just make them look so bad. And I was like, you know, I knew I kind of had a young aesthetic to me, and that's just because I'm a hip hop baby. Yeah. I mean, just being the fact that I've fucking been rapping since I was in fucking, as long as I can remember, to be honest, kindergarten, first grade.
Wow.
So I knew that's what I wanted to be.
Yes.
Even though it took me a long time to do it, I think hip hop kept me young.
Yeah.
Because I never was like, I'm not built for no manual labor.
Yeah.
I would work jobs and shit and fucking pass out, do all type of shit, man. And just not, I wasn't shit at fucking, so I knew I wasn't going to be good at working jobs. And I tried to sell drugs. I wasn't good at that shit either. So it was like music was the only thing. It was like, I was going to be a rapper. I was going to die trying. You know?
I had never really heard of Adderall before you.
I know, right? And I just listened to Drake.
You kind of started to that.
I listened to Drake album. He talking about popping Addies and shit. Nah, man. I
heard that out. Yo, by the way, Drake, he's got a bar about Cialis on his new album.
Yeah.
I sent a screenshot to A-Track. I was like, is he the first guy to rap about this? Like, people talk about the blue pill, but he named the name. I was like, okay.
I know I need to get me some Cialis. What's up, man? Ever since my sobriety, it ain't been working right.
I'm
too tender now.
How old are you right now?
42.
You're 42?
Yeah.
I'm 45.
Yeah.
So we're going to have the golden age versus
I'm a tender dick now, man. It's like I'm a teenager now. So did you just touch me wrong? This is going off.
Yeah.
All right, man. We're hopping some of these ex Dannys. You can always hit me up at Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. Also, hit me up and leave them voicemails. Just don't be creepy on there. That's 512-522-9256. 512-522-9256. All right, first up, we got Chick I Ignore is hot now. Ask Danny. Hey, Danny. About 2 years ago, a friend of a friend tried to set me up with his sister. That's kind of creepy, man. I wasn't too interested back then and didn't act like it either. Saw her recently, she's smoking now. Do I accept the defeat on this one? Thanks, thank you, and congrats on sobriety. I don't know. It's always a chance, you know. But I don't like motherfuckers. I don't like fucking around with motherfuckers' sisters and shit that I'm cool with. That's just always been like. Or I don't even like if I got a friend, you fuck around my sister. We ain't friends no more.
That's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, that's just one of those things because I don't got time to be hearing you talk about, you know, I ain't trying to be in y'all business. And then, you know, that's just get weird to me, man. Mm. So have you ever messed around with somebody's sister? That's just, I mean, when you growing up, teenagers.
Now, my teenage years were very quiet. I was, the way you were a late bloomer in rap, I was a late bloomer in other things. So no, by then it was like all that high school shit was like over. But I had another thing I would do, but it wasn't the sister's bit.
Yeah.
But no, I never did that.
No, I just can't mess around with her. If I'm friends with you, I can't even look at your sister in a sexual way type shit. You know?
That's
just like a respect thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, or at least you don't let that thought develop too much.
Or, because like I say, once you like start dating my sister, we can't really be friends no more.
It's
like,
you're
my sister boyfriend.
Yeah, it's just weird. We're like brothers-in-law.
Yeah. I'm not with that, man.
Yeah,
so
it's weird.
I mean, if you're still friends with homie, then accept the defeat. But if you don't fuck with that nigga no more, then
also,
shoot,
like, there's
your
other
shot.
People out there. Like,
that's
doing?
What I'm saying, especially with the internet now. See, back in the day, that shit was, before like social media and all that shit, I think it was more... You know, it's more accepted. You know, you had to talk to who you know, who's around you.
Yes.
And, you know, you like who you like and shit like that. But Nah, man, I don't know. Just accept the defeat on that one, I would say, you know, for the
Agreed.
Most part. Next up, we got need help accessorizing. Hi, Danny. I'm a girl and I really like street style and oversized clothes. Mm-hmm. I've been developing my style since the beginning of the year. I want to be unique and different. The only thing is I still have a problem finding cool accessories. I would like you, if you have any tip choosing the right accessory, store recommendations, should I teach myself how to make custom designs and cool stuff because I'm tired of the basic look. Thank you so much. Yours truly.
That's so cute. That's so wholesome. Oh, my God. That's so... You know that's a real one.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I will say, Dave, you're one of the flyest motherfuckers I know. You definitely could help out with this question.
I think, I mean, I got my thing, but you also always had your thing, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, to whoever wrote this, it's like, you got to find your thing, you know? And it's like, it's almost like a costume. Like, I think if you look at both Danny and I right now, like, we're in character, but that's who we are. So, like, for whoever wrote this, it's like, oh, it's not about being following a certain trend. It's like, find your thing and then just stick to it. You know, the greatest compliment for artists is if people could dress up as you for Halloween.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely greatest, true.
That's when you know you've coalesced into like a figure. And I think for normal people, that's great too. I love people that are like characters, like uniforms, you know?
Yeah, and that's the same shit with me. I always looked at it like you look at like real iconic people, like like I looked at it like cartoon characters.
Yeah, that's
like
who
they
we
can
are.
Wear the same shit every day. And
Bert and Ernie, like, bro, that's the shit. Yeah, you have to. We are cartoon characters because when I was growing up, I don't know if you felt this way, but like for me, like Wu-Tang, especially being in Canada, they were cartoon characters. Like when Ghostface got rid of the eagle, I was really sad.
Ghostface is like one of my style icon.
Yeah,
Ghostface is up there. Like I was wearing Wallabies all through high school.
Same. The robe, the eagle, and to relate to what she was saying, like, nobody told Ghostface, like, go put an eagle on your arm, and he did it, and the whole world fell in love with it, and that's what you got to do. You got to find your eagle.
One of the main things I learned from Ghostface was that, like, I guess in the Midwest in general, we always was, like, really matchy-matchy. Mm. Like, motherfuckers want to match their hat with their shoes, with their shirt, you know what I'm saying? And just everything just match colorized, you know?
Right.
And then I would see him and be like, don't none of this shit match. No. Let it go together.
Yes.
And that's when I started to get my take on that.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I remember growing up on the East Coast, though, we were fascinated with the Midwest style. Because it was, like, I remember, like, you know, I'd never even heard Bone Thugs, but it's the first guy I saw with a shower cap on a press kit. And I that changed my life. Like, I was like, what is that? You know, and the perms and everything. They're great. They're amazing.
I would say the key to accessorizing, though, is you got to look at
shower cap.
Yeah.
That's a great accessory.
Yeah, but no, it kind of goes against what I was about to say.
Okay, sorry, Danny, sorry.
Because I was about to say, like, as far as accessories, you want it to be like the fries to the burger. You want it to be the side, but it has to complement the main dish well. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
You don't want to be the person that the accessory is the biggest thing. You know, like the type of motherfucker take 20 minutes putting on their fucking chains and shit, and they only took 5 minutes to get dressed. You know,
right?
That's when like the accessory priorities. Becomes the main thing. But far as good some recommendation, it is this site that I've been frequenting, and they told me I need to stop gatekeeping. It's called Low Heads, and they have like a lot of like they have a lot of dope like independent designers and shit that make which I really like.
Wait, low like polo?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Low Heads. I really love this site. I've been shopping on here. It just takes mad long for your shit to come because you're dealing with independent designers, so they probably
that's
making
fire,
it
though.
Before, you know what I'm saying? They got to make it and then sell it to you type shit. But you can go on Low Heads. They have a lot of dope accessories and shit. And now one thing I do love about Low Heads is that it's your style. Like most people shop by the brand. Like there's a lot of people, you don't even know who the fuck making this shit. So you just looking at shit. So it keeps me. Yeah,
you used to name drop brands a lot.
Yeah.
Balmain. That was in a lot of your bars. But you're off that now?
Rick Owens.
Yeah, you're off that?
I see the Rick is just going crazy now. Yeah. No, I only wear independent shit now.
Yeah.
I only wear like up and coming designers and shit. Like this, shout out my boy Done by Doug.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite guys right now.
That's cool.
Like I ordered that fucking bracelet. They sent that shit to Florida, man. I was like, where's my bracelet? I kept checking that shit got dropped off in Opa-locka somewhere. Like, I don't live there. How the fuck my bracelet go there?
Opa-locka. Somebody's in Opa-locka looking real
fine. Yeah, I'm like, all right, you got me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You got me. But yeah, you can go on Low Heads and they got shit for cheap, man. It's the low. It's that's on the cool. low, man.
On so,
the,
oh, that's why. Okay.
And you're supporting an independent brand. You that's ain't supporting cool. these major companies and shit that yeah, ain't even, cool. you know. So shouts out to them. All right, next up, Wildest Dreams. Hey, Danny and the Booth people. Why you call my boys the Booth people, man? These the homies. I recently went on a tolerance break from weed and found that my dreams came back more vivid and disturbing than ever. And I mean some real bizarre shit. I've actually started journaling my dreams to try to make sense of them. What's the weirdest dream you've had, especially since quitting weed? Do you pay attention to that stuff? Shout out to the whole Brutang crew. Shout out to Bruce Brigade. But
oh, I love the Bruce Brigade.
Yeah, that's my brothers. I got my homies at Lupus here too.
Oh, sick.
So yeah, man, I've been that's the one thing I think that's really been fucking with me like crazy is my dreams are and they're not good dreams. I can't say uh-oh. I've had a good dream. They're not nightmares. They're just dreams that are like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why did I dream that shit? Like, I had...
That's the definition of a dream.
Yeah.
If a dream wasn't that, then it's not a dream.
It was so weird. I had a dream recently, man, where it was... I was in L.A. It was in L.A. And I was driving past some place, and I was like, man, I got to pee real bad. And it ended up being a venue, like, type shit. Like, some type of party, private party going on. I was like, I just need to come in and take a piss. But I actually get in, and it's a Jay-Z party. And then Jay-Z's there, which I'd never met Jay-Z, but I love Jay-Z. Huge fan. And he's just like, oh, Danny, he knew me and shit. It was like, what's up, man? I'm kicking it with you. You know, and gave me his number and shit. And that was just a dream right there.
Jay-Z had to clear one of your lyrics. So he does know
yeah,
who you
I
are.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but I'm
he
like.
He does know who you are.
But I'm like, fuck, man. Why did I have that
nah,
dream?
Nah, that's perfect. If it's not for dreams like this, therapists would be out of work.
I mean, maybe it'll happen one day, man. Shouts out to Hov. But I was like, man, this is a weird dream. But the funny part about the dream is that it wasn't this Jay-Z. It was the 96 Jay-Z, like with the waves and shit.
Yeah. with the jersey.
Yeah, the paw. The paw Jay-Z.
Yeah. What is he saying? Is he saying pause? Is it? I think it's pause. I think it's pause.
I don't know. What
I think
he
it's pause. I never understood that thing.
But it was that Jay-Z, man. Pa-paw. That's one person too. You can see with every album, he was like turning into like a different character too.
Yep.
Because the early Jay-Z, you can kind of tell. I don't know. It almost seemed like he knew he had the bars and he was like the flyest motherfucker. But it was like wasn't as confident or something. Like if you listen to Reasonable Doubt, it was like he was just letting it show into the bars.
He was in Biggie's shadow. He was also still tongue flipping, doing the diggity diggity thing. Like, you know, because he was doing that kind of rapping and then he had Kane. It was like he wasn't himself yet.
Yeah, and then you get like three albums later and he'll give you like a minute longer just talking like, I'm the best. Yeah. You fucking with it's yeah. like, oh, shit.
A good Jay record that like gets overlooked is Volume 2.
Which one's that?
That's the one with Imaginary Playmate on it.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the...
That's my favorite.
To me, Volume 4, too. Volume the one 4? With a lot of the Timberland beats and shit.
Yeah.
I liked that shit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He had the premiere shit. Yeah. Like, I love that one, too.
That's a good one.
All right, we'll jump into some white people shit.
White people shit!
We always talk about white people shit here because I love white people so much. Cremated pets in a box.
Oh, boy.
Danny. It's having a pet cremated and keeping it in a fancy box like a family member, white people shit. My cats are my family, but when they die, I'm not letting them take up any more space.
So why does this fall into the category of white people shit? Just like...
That sounds like some shit, because niggas ain't doing no shit like that.
Right,
die in the backyard, they throw them in a garbage can. Like,
right. This is like, right, okay, I understand.
But my girl got her pets cremated on the mantle and shit. So yeah,
I don't know. That's advanced. That's really
nice
advanced.
Little box, but like that's Juno right there and shit. But nice. Yeah, I think this will be white people shit. Niggas ain't doing that, man. I mean, yeah, I
mean, that's advanced.
Are you a pet person? I don't think I've.
I didn't. I wasn't, and then I got a dog against my will. My girl got
a
dog.
Yeah, that's how it always happened.
Yep, and then it changed me completely.
Yeah, because you start to fall in love with the fucking dog.
Bro, you don't understand.
Then every time, I think it's almost like a defense tactic for them. Because they be like, this motherfucker ain't going to leave me because he love the dog. You know what I'm saying?
I think so. And then I actually think so.
And then you start thinking about it like, man, I'm going to get y'all get into
I never thought I would love a pet, but the dog changed my life.
Yeah, no, I got two chihuahuas that came from my girl.
Oh, see?
And they my babies. I love them to death,
It's
man.
Crazy. It really, it's crazy what it does to you.
Yeah, man.
I never thought, yeah.
All right, next up we got holding your breath competitions.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Danny, I recently stumbled across a prime time white people shit called extreme breath holding.
I've seen a video about this, and mostly just white people talking about how cool it is. One guy even described it as psychedelic, but personally, it seems like he gets off on a thrill of drowning to death. This is downright some sick white people shit. I think it was warranted. I think it has warranted your opinion. Anyway, you are an inspiration to me. I'm a massive fan of the podcast. I can't wait for Quaranta. Shouts out to Muhammad. Sick. I ain't never heard of this. This is some real shit?
Yo, did you see this thing on Netflix about the people who drowned themselves?
No.
There's this huge documentary on Netflix. I forget. It's like The Last Breath or something. And it's like people who basically go deep sea diving without any air, without any nothing. And they go so deep that they lose consciousness. And when they go back, they reemerge. They're like this close to dying. And I watch it in horror. That's the one, The Deepest Breath. And I was like, this has to be some kind of fetish. Like, this is some people who enjoy choking and going so close to dying. Like, this is a kink. I freaked out.
Like, the motherfuckers that choke themselves by jacking off and shit like that.
So that, I think this is the next level. You start choking yourself jacking off, and next thing you know, you end up in the middle of the ocean on a rope with concrete on you, and this is your turn on.
No, this ain't popped up in my algorithm. You've been watching some crazy shit.
This thing is crazy. Look at this. And then, I mean, yo, it's mental. I couldn't even watch it. It freaked me out too much.
Yeah.
I'll watch some fucked up shit.
Like, I love documentaries, but I ain't watching this one.
This is freaky, bro.
And that bitch doing that shit?
Yep. She's going to the middle of the ocean. She's not breathing. And when they come out, they're half dead. They have to have a whole team of medics when they come out.
And they know this is what they're putting themselves through.
They love it. This is their kink. This is what they look for. This is their thrill.
Yeah, she a freaky bitch. I can see it in her eyes. I see it in her eyes. You a nasty motherfucker. That's fucked up, man, when actual just normal sex don't get you off no more, man.
You got to go drown. Like
that. Yeah, I'm going to go drown. Wake up just busting nuts and shit.
See that?
That's some fucked up shit, man. All right. Next up, we got Live, Laugh, Love. Hey, Danny, I love the show. Shout out to the Booth Boys. I was wondering if Live, Laugh, Love wall posters are some white people shit or just some type of person. Much love, Rico from Alberta, Canada. I never seen that poster.
Well, as someone from the other side of the divide, I can confirm. I can confirm. That is definitely part of the, that goes right there with the pumpkin spice and yeah, that's there.
Oh, so there's some toe ring bitch type shit.
It goes from toe ring to soccer mom. It runs the gamut. It's pretty universal.
Live, laugh, love. But that is a good expression. I understand it. I mean, I feel it. But I never seen one of those. So yeah, that ain't in the hood.
Yeah, it's not in the hood. And the fonts are real sus. So does this show up? The Google thing shows up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see the fonts are crazy.
No, I never seen one of
those. You never seen that? I don't think that. Yeah.
In the hood, we just got Black Jesus and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We ain't got this.
Yeah, it's very, yeah.
Oh, they be getting a tattoo too.
It's a huge thing.
Live, laugh, love.
It's a huge thing.
But I understand that. I'm with all that. That's positivity at the peak, you know? Mm-hmm. So
you're positive? You consider yourself?
Yeah, now. Yeah. I think, you know, when I was deep in my addictions and shit, I was real. It was coming from a negative place. You know, that's one thing that I did learn, that, you know, I had a lot of underlying trauma that I didn't get through or got over. So now that I'm out of that shit, it's like, you know, I just try to, like, just live. And his mantra, live, laugh, love.
There you go.
Honest, you know?
There you go. Look at you. Get this man a pumpkin spice latte right now.
Give me some Uggs.
Little fedora.
You know what I'm saying?
A little Coachella hat, and then you're good to go.
So, yeah.
Crystals.
Because I guess that's just with a lot of people, man, especially with artists, too. I feel like we just, I don't know, just always just thinking negative shit or just thinking about the worst.
It's hard not to.
And just not just being present in a moment and just realizing, you know, now I just realize how blessed I am.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
And definitely. I think I've just more so focused on that and just the positive shit that I got going on in my life and try to, you know, not escape the shit with stuff. You know, I guess now that's one of the biggest things about being sober. Now I got to accept the feelings. It ain't nothing to mask the shit no more, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, but to people self-medicate. Like, I think people say, like, as a musician or artist, like, if you're taking drugs past the age of 23, you're self-medicating. You're not partying. No one's partying. Most people are just self-medicating because it is hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I admire you for this. This is crazy. I didn't think I would be a mindful Danny. That's hard. That's cool.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
It's deep, man.
Yep.
And it's more so, man. Like, I was always worried that if I ever got sober, like, would I still be able to make music?
I was going to ask you. What are you going to rap about?
No, nah, I found, I mean, because I've been back, you know, messing around and writing and stuff, and I feel like it's, I'm like better than ever, kind of.
I mean, Jay-Z, I think, never really.
No, Kendrick, like a lot of the best rappers always was sober.
Yeah.
So it was more so 50? Like. 50? Yeah.
I think so. That's what I hear anyway. I don't think it's going to change much. In fact, you probably get more clarity.
Yeah, and that's what it is. I think I'm more, you know, like conscious, and I think I'm more patient with the process.
There you go.
Where before, sometimes, you know, shit don't work, you scrap, you know, you just like trying, you want to make some dope shit. And, you know, it's usually like catching lightning in a bottle. You can make a fucking song and be like, oh, that's it, boom, boom, and shit happen together. But now I'm like more patient with it and just respect and trust the process more.
I never asked you this. Do you write or do you just memorize?
I write. I love writing. Mm. I mean, I've done a few songs where I freestyled them.
But like most of the time it's on your phone or whatever.
I love writing more than I love actual doing anything else that has to do with the music. That's why say if it wasn't for music, I probably could have been like a motherfucker that wrote novels and shit like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just something that has to do with writing. I'm actually thinking about getting into this sketch writing class.
I can see that. Of course. That's you, of course. And a children's book.
Yeah. That was me being drunk. Yep. I was hungover that day. It was fucked up, man. I was in Australia and I was just partying, you know, going crazy, and I was drunk. And then, you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you know you hungover and you still fucked up, but you still be drunk and you don't know you
even
fucking drunk.
I remember that from back in the day.
I'm fucking doing press and shit. And I don't know. I just said that shit on some drunk shit. Yeah. And by the time I got back to the States, I had so many fucking book offers. Motherfuckers wrote me to write a book. But, you know, it didn't work out, man. I tried to do it, man, but no, it wasn't. It wasn't something that.
It wasn't. Could still be good though.
I mean, I'm working on some stuff now. Yeah, I got some stuff in coming up too. I don't think I can really talk about it, but I got some stuff coming up. All right, we got a would you rather. Would you rather go to the past with one piece of current technology with someone who understands the ins and outs of said technology and come back, or go to the future and bring back one piece of tech from the future with you, but without being able to explain it? No range on how far you go back or how forward you go. Me, I just want to go to the future anyway. So I'm going to just go with
the future.
You've
been in the future.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
You go to the future in between each album, I feel like. And you bring back the album from it. I feel like that's what happens.
That was a huge compliment for me. Thank you so much, Dave. Yeah. I swear, man.
I feel like that's what happens with you.
Yeah, I go to the future and bring back
Where's
music.
Danny? He's in the future. My brother would say that. Yo, what's up with Danny? He's in the future somewhere. He'll come back.
Bring it back to music. that'd be fire.
Yeah.
That's fire, man. So, you got this new album, man. What can we expect from this one, man?
It's like definitely like a grown and sexy Chromeo. Okay. It's like us trying to really be age appropriate and talk about like, can you be funky at 30 and at 40?
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because, you know, like when you read all this discourse about Gen Z and all that stuff, right? But I was always like, when we were kids, we looked up to the old people.
I know, that's the crazy part, ain't it?
I always wanted to be like my babysitter and their friends. I hated being young. I thought we were corny.
It's like Lord of the Flies now. It's like kids look up to kids.
Yeah, and with the kids themselves, they look up to us, the older. So I was just like, let's celebrate like this kind of age-appropriate funk. As we talk about like a lot of grown-up relationships. Like every song is about like kind of an aspect of a grown-up relationship, whether it's insomnia or like we're not talking about being tender, but we're talking about like basically skipping sex and like just going to sleep.
Ain't no tender dick songs up.
Yeah, I mean, it's implied. And then we talk about like codependency and like, you know, monogamy, the pluses, the but. It's real focused on like adult relationships. That's why we called it adult contemporary.
That's dope. Yeah. I always felt like y'all shit was grown and sexy.
Yeah, it was. But in this case, it's really like we lean into that and like we're wearing the suits. We're really on our Steely Dan thing, you know.
Fire, man.
I hope
I can't wait to hear this shit.
That's what's up. Thank you, man. What about you?
My album. It was recorded during the pandemic. I was in a real dark place, so it's a trauma dump.
Okay.
I would say it's a trauma dump.
Okay.
But it's good. I mean, because now, like I say, music is my therapy. Yeah, so it was a way for me to get it out.
Same.
And I'm glad I got it out. And the way I see it now is that we see the ending to it, that I made it out of that shit. And I'm doing way better than I could possibly even imagine.
Yeah, you got that glow. You got that real sober glow.
Thank you, man.
It's crazy.
And so, I mean, I feel like, you know, it'd be one thing if I was still going through that shit and putting this album out. but the fact that people can, so I really feel like it's going to help a lot of people.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's one of those things where I get a lot of people always hit me up and be like, man, you know, just because if you really listen to it, it was always cries for help in there. You know, I just never knew about how to go about getting that help or, yeah, you know, how to take the steps to do
it's
that.
Hard. It was hard to, for me as a listener and a fan to interpret that as a cry for help, because I always read it through the prism of like, well, he's from Detroit. There's such a big part of that that's like the horrorcore, the mm-hmm. dark shit, or what's his name? Isham? How do you pronounce
Isham.
His name? Yeah, like that's such a big part of your heritage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't take it face value. I was like, he's on his Detroit shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't realize that there was someone in there who was broken.
Yeah, yeah. But, and yeah, that is some truth to that too, where you know, shock value is what gets us off being from Detroit.
It's so entertaining. It's so entertaining.
Shock, even by me, like we was talking about Nasty Nas, even just like in the Nas shit. So yeah, most of my favorite rappers had that shock value to
a
them.
Big
so
part
yeah,
of
that
them,
was
right?
a. I took even Ghostface. He'll yeah, say some huge. Fucking off the wall, wild shit yeah. sometime, man.
That's the entertaining part. That's the part that's like, you know, superhero wrestling, kayfabe, whatever you want to call it,
yeah.
which is like a real huge part of it.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to break character type shit.
You can't. Know? If they do, for me, it's such a heartbreak when one of my favorite artists breaks character. I just love
yeah,
the character.
Like when Ghostface is on that fucking reality show, the fucking marriage counseling.
See, I blocked that out.
Dog,
I
you got to see it.
No,
you gotta
no,
see
no, no,
it.
No, no,
that was,
no,
that was
no,
he
no,
broke
no.
kayfabe, did.
Yeah.
I still love Ghostface. He actually said he got a new album coming out soon.
You guys got to get on a joint. You
we did. Have, we did one.
Oh, you did, right?
I did one with him. I can't remember. It was on the, I think the Bad Bad. Not good.
Oh, right. That's right. Right.
Yeah,
right,
we did
yeah.
that one. And I totally just rapped like him. It was really like an honor to me, man, to even, you know.
You still do the different voices?
Yeah, hell yeah.
What was the album where first half you had the low voice and then
Old.
Yeah, that's the one. We put that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We started with the low voice.
And
you basically did Give Me the Loot, but on a whole album.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's wild. See, I never had to do that. I actually just found my voice on this album.
Really?
Yep.
That's crazy.
I found my voice on this album. And the crazy thing, I'll be honest with you, I had a deviated septum.
Oh, shit.
You know, like that.
Yeah,
thing
I know.
Up there?
I know.
And I got the surgery to get it fixed. And it was like very complicated because, like, most doctors, when they want to do that, they're trying to like shrink your nose. I was like, nah, I still want to look Jewish. Like, keep my nose long. I want to look like who I am. I just want to be able to breathe. And then the minute I had it, then it took super long to heal, but then I could sing so much easier.
Oh, shit.
And then, so the first show I did after the thing healed, you know, we got, do you use in-ear monitors when
yeah.
you play? So I played the show, and after the show, I went to the monitor guy, and I was like, bro, why is my vocal so loud in my ear? I couldn't hear anything.
Oh.
He was like, no, bro, you're singing 5 dB louder.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, it's this. And so it actually just really helped me kind of.
So damn, that's crazy, man.
It's crazy, yeah. Say, I mean, point is, you just keep evolving. You know, you just keep evolving and keep changing. Like that's the best stuff. You know, we could hope for. I know it's cheesy to say, but
no.
Like yeah.
That's crazy though. That yeah. you had a deep, that shit just affected singing like that.
It helped me find my voice. Like I just kind of found a pocket where I was real comfortable.
Cause I got my nose broke when I was, you know, young 20 wilding. And I never got it fixed.
Well, maybe that's why you were like this. Right? That's why you're like that. That explains a lot, actually.
It might have something. No, I actually started doing that voice, man. Just because I was rap with my normal voice and shit, but I talk like this. Like, it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? But I would try to rap with my rap like Nas. So I would
well,
try
guitar
to
solo is low still, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still do songs with low voice.
Yeah, yeah.
I
that's what songs. We talked about. But then I think it's on XXX that you really went high.
Yeah, no, that's when I really embraced it.
Can you talk in that voice?
Yeah, I talk like that. Like
no, that's not. You're not. You're like this. We're talking.
That's
like
the that. One. Yeah. All right.
That's it. Sorry.
All right. We'll spin the wheel and we'll get ready to get up out of here. What is that?
What is that?
So someone caught DeSantis.
Wearing heels?
Looking like he had the hidden heels on.
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
Oh, I mean, that's flat though.
I'm wearing heels as we
yeah,
speak.
Yeah, that's what I'm yeah. saying. I got the I got, fucking big platforms on. You know
here,
what I'm saying?
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
That's a DeSantis.
Yeah, that's the DeSantis heels. No, there don't fly. Go.
That's all right. That's actually the only thing about him I like.
Yeah, what does he do? I mean, you know me. I don't know shit about politics. What? Well, who is this guy?
Don't worry about him, but the heels is like literally the only cool thing about him. I'm surprised.
I mean, he might be a short guy. I want to get some inches on him.
Yep.
But yeah, who is this guy?
He's running for president.
Oh, okay.
Governor.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like he got some style. He might get my vote.
Let's move on.
You know, I want to apply president. We done had some, you know. All right. So, yeah, okay. I take it. I mean, he's from Florida, so he probably got some bad shit going on with him.
Yeah. I mean, I love Florida, though.
I mean, yeah, no, Florida's a great place, but, man, place. I mean, they call the motherfuckers Florida Man for a reason. The motherfuckers fighting alligators and man. It's the motherfucking.
It makes Texas look tame.
No, definitely.
Right?
It's like, definitely.
I
was just in Florida not too long ago. It was a great time, man. Yeah. It was raining, though.
I could see you doing songs with cats from out there, too.
Yeah, I mean, I love they singing out there. I mean, it's a little, they're a little gangster.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little gangster.
But
out
I can
there,
see
man.
You. I can
but
hear
you know,
it.
That's it, man. All right, we can spend one more time. We'll get up out here. Because I don't know who the fucking, I don't know shit about no fucking politics, man. I play video game. Mall of America, man.
What's that?
That's in, is it Minneapolis?
That, I
don't believe
know.
So. Is it's that, Mall of America. It's the
largest.
It's the largest mall.
I heard about that.
I've been there a few times. I don't shop at malls.
Right.
To be honest, that's like teenage shit.
Yeah,
I don't. Very much. I mean, we used to go to the mall to look for girls and shit. Now you got social media. You don't need to do that shit. No
the
more.
Food but, court was it? Was it right?
Yeah. If you court. Go to the food court and shit, man, we'll go to the mall. I remember when I was a kid, man. You had $20 in your pocket and go to the mall because I lived right on the bus line. That would take you right to the mall. You can just get on one bus and go straight to the mall. And we'll go there and just walk around that motherfucker. Look at
same.
Shit. And that's another thing, too, that, you know, where, I mean, I hate to be always sounding like a fucking old motherfucker, but you didn't know what shoes and shit was coming out.
Of course not.
So you would have to go to Foot Locker and you would look at this board and it'll tell you the date and you can see the shoe and shit. Now you can just, you know, go on websites. They tell you, you can go on Twitter and they'll be like, oh, these are coming out. These are coming out. So that was like a thing that we would do every Saturday. We would go to the mall just to find out what was the new releases and be like, oh, try to save up your money. Like,
save up. Yeah.
The new
yeah.
Jordans is about to come out.
Yeah. I had a cap. My parents used to say like,
who are you talking to, man?
What was your cap? Do you remember?
Man, my mama had 4 kids. And this was back in the day, and we'd go to the mall. She'd be like, "You got $50. You get a fucking $50 pair of shoes. What the fuck you gonna get?
Nothing.
I got my first $100 pair of shoes with some Reebok pumps when I was in the 5th grade, and I wore
you got
them.
Those? I we're about the same age. My cap was $80, but $80 Canadian is about $50 US. So we were probably in the same ballpark. I remember those Agassiz with the pink thing on the sole. Like, I wanted those so bad.
Them was fire, man.
Yeah, that was.
I think
hard
they re-released those not too long ago.
I'm sure. I haven't worn sneakers in a bit. I'll be on them the DeSantis heels really.
I remember I wanted the fucking. I remember I wanted those fucking LJ Converse, the Larry Johnson, the fucking the React Juice and shit.
Oh,
in
yeah, okay.
I wanted them bitches so bad. It was, I think they was about $80-something. And then they had like I remember these shoes came out. They kind of looked like them, but they wasn't them. And they was called Aerial Assaults.
Fire.
And my mom was like, get these Aerial Assaults. What's the difference? I'm like, but these Larry Johnsons, these grandmamas. I don't want them Aerial Assaults.
They don't care. My parents, I wanted the Nike Airs with the bubbles so bad. I just wanted a visible bubble.
Yeah.
I needed to see the bubble. That was over $80. My parents got me something called Asics Gel.
Oh, the Asics Gel.
That was like right in the, those were like $75.
Yeah.
It was like quite comfortable as I remember.
Man, they roasted me so hard about them Aerial Assaults in school, man. It was almost, cool. It wasn't even worth it, man. I had to stop wearing them bitches, man. Like it was really bad for me.
So then what was the thing you could wear? Like what, Chucks or something?
Yeah.
Chucks is like neutral Vans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are like roast free.
Chucks or you can get like, and another one was the fucking, what you can get. The fucking, Aerial Assaults, man. They don't even make them. Look at them motherfuckers,
I've never seen
man.
That even.
A dog. They trash, man. They so trash, man.
Cool.
No, you know what we would get to? You know what we would get to that was in that price range was K-Swiss.
Yeah, but that's kind of fly. I guess that was past the fly point.
Because the low top all whites, you can just beat the case, get a pair of K-Swiss.
But I think there's, the South and stuff, they would wear those, I feel like.
Actually the Reeboks, too. It was the low top Reeboks with the bubblegum sole.
See, I think that in the South or the Midwest could fly. I don't think anybody on the East Coast wore those.
No, East Coast niggas
would
wear
those. But that was
like
some Master P Hot Boys shit. They wore those. I didn't know.
Yeah, them shits right there.
Yeah.
Them was at the, yeah, them shits.
Those
them
are cool.
Them was the beat the case. You can get them too. Yeah, you beat the case with them. Like, they couldn't clown on you for them. You know what I'm saying? But you beat the case if you had them. See, there's $41. They still capping right now. I could still grab some of those. So, yeah, you get those.
But you know, that back in those days, man, you had one pair of shoes you had to wear.
It was one per school year for me.
We'll get one pair of shoes when school start, and then we'll get another pair on Christmas. Oof. And then if you want, when your birthday come, you can, if that's what your gift want to be,
right,
you can get you a pair of shoes. And right. I got me a job at 14. I was like, fuck
same,
this shit.
Same,
I 14. Got to do something, man.
I worked in a lumber yard, yeah, because I was... That's the only thing I could get.
I got to be fly. Yeah. A lumber yard. Well, yeah. How old were you?
14.
Doing what? Lifting fucking logs and
trying
shit?
To lift 2x4s, yeah. That it's the only job I could get through, like a family hookup.
That shit would definitely be making me, that would make me be like, I'm doing music. Fuck this shit.
Kind of yeah. Probably contributed to that, definitely.
But if you start working definitely. Hard labor like that at
yeah,
an
I
early
mean,
age,
I did what I could. It wasn't pretty, but it was funny.
That would even be that. Like, fuck that shit. All right, man. Thank you so much,
yo,
Dave,
thank
through,
you,
man.
Honor to be here.
Dog, it's an honor to have you on here, man.
Yes, sir.
Like I say, man, you and your brother, y'all changed my life, man. Oh, I don't know man. Where I'd be if it wasn't for y'all, man. So
I got
so much love and respect for y'all brothers, man. But yeah.
Likewise. We got to get him on here, too.
Hell yeah, man.
We did your first press shoots in my old apartment.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful. I was so proud of you, man.
Thank you,
you became
man.
The voice of a generation. Like, it's unreal. Not to be corny and shit, but like, to think I was like, I like the name Danny Brown. Go for it. Never heard a song. That was amazing,
that was
bro.
Amazing,
congratulations
man.
On everything.
Thank
beautiful.
You.
And sobriety. Wow, that's huge. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, who you telling, man? I can't believe it myself, man. I wake up every day. Like,
one day at a time.
Fuck,
that's
what
they
the
say,
fuck right? am I got going on in my life? All right, man. Live, all laugh, right. love you, motherfuckers, man. We about this, man. See y'all, motherfuckers. Same time, same channel. Love you. Peace.